Sunday Meditation, December 11th, 2005. The question today, Quo, has to do with just what is language and how does it work? Whether we're communicating with a rock, a tree, with each other, with the fourth density entity, how does it work? It is said that Solex Mala is one of the basic languages. Ra said that Hebrew and Sanskrit were very basic languages. What is the basis of language? And after we have communicated, after we've attempted to use words to describe thoughts, feelings, ideas, and so forth, how do these thoughts and feelings and ideas, how do these words sink in and have an effect upon us so that we grow, so that we're more than we were before we heard them?
We are those known to you as the principle of Kuo. Greetings in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. We come in the service of the infinite creator to share our humble opinions with you at this time. We thank the circle of seeking for calling us. We thank this instrument for tuning herself to secure us specifically. And we thank all of those unseen presences whose energies add so much to the richness of the experience of all of us who experience this circle together. It is our pleasure and our privilege to offer you whatever thoughts we have. We would, however, as always, ask each of you to be very responsible about maintaining a guard upon your own temple gates. Please be careful what you accept as material for thinking. If an idea seems helpful or valid to you, by all means follow it. That is why we are sharing the information. However, we are not always those who hit the mark. Be aware of this. Not all of our thoughts may be specifically for you. If one does not seem to be helpful, then we ask you to leave it behind without a second thought. Guard your own sanctuary. We thank you for this favor, for it enables us to speak freely and not be concerned that we will infringe upon your free will. By the very words that we have just spoken through this instrument, we have indicated that we consider your words to be instruments of communication that are efficient. We would like to make that point first. For much that we have to say about words seems to denigrate the power of the spoken word or the heard word. And we would not in any way suggest that there is little or no power in that which you hear and that which you say. Remember that you are creatures whose only access to life is through breathing in and breathing out. The train whistle that you hear outside of the dwelling place in which each of you sits at this time is also a wind instrument, expressing noise or signal through the expression of air. Each of you, similarly, and hopefully with more sense, is a wind instrument. You have far more than one two-note dyad to sing your song. You have all the colorations of your voice. Before you ever come to say a word, the simple expression of your voice is enough to let someone else sharing space with you in a house or a home, an office or a restaurant, know that there is another entity dwelling in the same space with them. The simple sound of your voice humming a tune is enough to tell them who you are and to awaken in them the emotions created by the dynamics of your energy exchange. We encourage you to have great respect and give great honor to your breath. With it, you ride the surf of life within the environment of third density. And with that voice, with that breath expelled just so, you begin to make patterns at a very young age. What are your first words? For most entities, the first words are those recognitions of entities that share space with them. Mama, Papa, Grandpa, Grandma. We discover within this instrument's mind, and perhaps it is not too far a detour to take, that this instrument's first words were "put me down," spoken to her dear mother. There is in the human energy almost an equal need to recognize intimacy and to create individuation or individuality. Words are used for both purposes. Therefore, before you speak your first word in a conversation, ask yourself, is this a pattern of words designed to increase intimacy? Or is this a pattern of words designed to increase individuation? You have asked, what is language? And you have indicated by the way that you have asked this question that you are not speaking simply of the language such as we are using through this instrument, but rather the whole concept of modes of communication. Moving into a lucid discussion of the fundamentals of language is a bit like attempting to pluck the middle out of a system which is involuted to an extent where the middle is difficult to reach directly. Therefore, let us be somewhat relaxed in our logic and approach the question from a couple of different angles. Firstly, the basics of language, or as the one known as Rumi pointed out, the basics of its synonym, communication, are two: love and light. The very nature of nature, creator and created, is a living thought. You are a thought. That thought translates into your language as love. This instrument was speaking recently of the hopelessness of using language, and especially of using the word love. We would agree. Yet, we have no choice. We can attempt to throw up a hedge of adjectives and qualifiers to indicate the kind of love that we speak of when we speak of the one great original thought. It is a thought of unconditional, absolute love. In and of itself, love is pure being, and being is pure love. There is no vector. Implicit in love itself, or in you as a being, purely considered, the vector is provided by that thought that you are, with all of its distortions, as you exist in incarnation and third density. Acting upon that love that you are. It is light that has molded itself into each atom of your body, into the various energy fields which control your various organs, your elements of sense, such as sight and smell and taste and hearing. It is light molded in the ways of energy as it is received from the infinite energy of the one Creator. That the love that is you molds into your distorted pattern of energy expenditures. That use of energy endlessly creating and recreating itself as you meet catalyst and respond to it. Is at any moment the sum total of expression of who you are. You are love, using light to experience the incarnation you now experience, to process the catalyst that you are now receiving, and to explore those regions of feeling and concept which are sparked into awakening within you. The most potent information that you will ever gather is information concerning your thoughts. This is entirely interior to your process. We cannot say how much of your own internal processing is done in words, how much of it is done in feeling, and how much is done in various idiosyncratic ways or uses of energy, such as visualization, meditation, what this instrument would call prayer, and other tools and resources of an entity who decides to go deeper and look further than the entities in consensus reality around one tend to go. You were speaking as a group earlier of staying on the surface of things. It is indeed a wise plan sometimes to skate on the surface of life for a while, to allow whatever patterns that have occurred to settle and to clarify themselves. Sometimes the hardest thing in the world is to realize that one is in the middle of a very confused pattern and that waiting is indicated. That is a waiting without words, a waiting that is full of knowing. Another method of looking at language is to look at what actually occurs during a communication. The one known as Bruce was asking about how one talks to a rock. This is difficult for us to communicate through this instrument, but we will attempt it. All entities besides humans in third density speak and understand the thought behind the words rather than understanding words. It is to the human mind that words are necessary, not to the consciousness that indwells all of the other densities, and indeed the inner planes of your own density. It is not the rest of creation that is odd, it is you. Words are a very special artifact of your density. They are necessary because there is a carefully placed veil that blocks the conscious mind of third density entities within incarnation from being fully aware that all is one, that all are part of one infinite creation and are part of the principle of that creation. Each of you is a shaft of the sunlight of the day that the Creator has made. And so for you, words were created as if rolled out by a great rolling pin from the roundness of concept and then stamped with cookie cutters to make this and that shape in the mouth and in the ear so that you could stumble your way through communicating what you are perceiving to each other and to yourselves. In actuality, when you are truly communicating, even within your third density illusory bodies, the concept that lies behind the words creates points of unification that make the energy of the words that you use more coherent. To a rock, however, there is no need for a word, although it is very helpful to an entity within third density communicating with a rock to use the words. But the visual and auditory aid is not useful in communicating with the rock. It is useful in letting the human know that the human is indeed attempting to communicate with the rock. Now, this being said, it is helpful to realize that the first communication that you give in terms of metaphysical, not physical, discussion is being or love. The precise distortion of love that you are vibrating at or expressing at this moment is the beginning of all communications from you. Admittedly, in human conversation, the beingness aspect may or may not have much impact, depending upon the quality of the entity to whom you are speaking, the quality of yourself as a self known to itself, and the quality of the conversation itself. That beingness is information that is as the matrix for the movement of concept that constitutes the formation of a communication. If you are speaking to a rock, your first communication is, I am here. Your second communication is, I recognize you. Your third communication, given that you wish to speak to the rock, is, listen to me. You are setting up a way for the rock to grasp the fact that you are in communication with it. That rock is immediately aware of your being. And of your desire to speak with it. It is variably interested in listening to you, depending upon the nature of your being. The more you come to an entity not of your own density, resting comfortably in your own skin, energetically speaking, the more accurate and eloquent your communication may be. Therefore, the skill of communication begins with the ongoing business of discovering ever more deeply who you are. What you wish to communicate to a being such as a rock can, in your mind, be very complex, having to do with a good many details. To the mind of a rock, the details will be lost. It is your honest and clearly felt emotion and desire that are communicated to such an entity. The qualities of self and feeling are ever blended, just as love and light are blended constantly throughout your incarnation, playing and dancing back and forth, so that you have an ever new opportunity to explore the present moment as if it were a brand new thing. And indeed, every moment is a brand new thing. The reason that entities respond so clearly and for the most part so positively to that which is perceived as euphonious music as opposed to speaking, is that the energy of speaking has a good deal of limitation depending upon the habits of speaking of the entity who is using words. An entity such as this instrument, who spends a good deal of time singing, creates a certain musicality even when it is not singing, which enables entities listening to singers such as this instrument to carry away the gift of feeling as well as the words themselves. And perhaps you have noticed how differently you have responded to precisely the same words offered by different people in different tones of voice with, you suspect, different motives and agendas behind the words. The universe moves along orbits described by energies that this instrument recognizes only as color and tone. However, those colors and tones are shadows within third density, indicating the substantial existence in metaphysical or non-local systems or structures of entities and essences of great power and beauty. So if this instrument says, "O taste and see how gracious the Lord is," there is one reaction based on the words. If this entity sings, "Oh, taste and see how gracious the Lord is," there is another reaction, based primarily not on the words, but on the coloration of the wind instrument of this instrument's voice. There is a tremendous relief in escaping into the color and tone of music. Storytelling. Or the more stringent disciplines of non-spoken art, where only color and shape and texture can be used to catch those shadows of substantial truths that are unseen within your density. This is some of what we can say about the nature of language and communication. At this point, we feel that perhaps it might be useful to open the discussion to further questioning. Is there a question at this time? We are those of Kuh.
We're speaking about song. How does the song communicate directly to the feelings? I'm not understanding the connection there. I can understand the words talking to the intellect being processed into concepts, coming through the auditory canals. What's different?
We are those of Kuo, and we believe we understand your query, my brother. We were speaking earlier of the cookie-cutter approach to concept that words use. They take a roundness that is the gift of consciousness. They take that concept that is a metaphysical living unit, and they take that marble rolling pin of the intellect to it and press it flat into conformable pie crust size dough, and they cut words out of it. And so you have created many a language in your sojourn upon this planet. Yet, underlying this cookie-cutter approach are some guiding principles having to do with sound. This instrument was speaking in a former conversation with this group concerning the value of certain sounds, such as the sounds of the letters themselves in the Hebrew and Sanskrit. Alphabets, where the simple repetition of certain sounds uses the shadow power of those particular sounds to unlock the substantial entity that those shadows of sound represent from their strictures, so that they may come into contact on an unconscious level with those aspects of your archetypical mind or your deep unconscious or your frontal lobes, to give a habitation and a name to what we are talking about. So that as you hear certain words, the energy body reacts at an unconscious or a preconscious level. There is no effort involved. Similarly, when you hear the sweet sound of the human voice, or a well-played instrument of any kind, whether it be a wind instrument or a percussion instrument like the piano or an instrument like the violin that creates music from vibration, you are creating sounds that in themselves are sacred and that have the ability to awaken at the preconscious or subconscious level streams of emotion further. The ability of those gifted musically to create not a tone alone, but a melody, is a gift of unseen clarity. Again, we are speaking of things that to the intellectual mind are simply shadows. Yet those shadows are the shadows of enormously powerful energies. So when you are able to experience not simply tone but melody, then your emotions are literally being played upon as if they were the instrument that music plays. When you add words, especially heartfelt words, to the stream of melody, you have created a powerful instrument for awakening an entire orchestration of thoughts and feelings created in a coherent pattern that is evanescent, but yet while you are hearing and experiencing this stream of sound, you are able to perceive entire universes that otherwise would be lost to you. May we answer you further, my brother?
Yes. The song, then, as I understand it, is kind of like a non-local representation that talks to the unconscious, whereas the words are more of localized conceptual representations, like indices in a book. When they combine together, song and words being sung, it basically is talking to both halves at the same time. Is that correct?
We are those of Kuo, and my brother, you are perceptive. This is correct.
Then would you pretty much equate the music to love and the words to light? In the relationship you indicated earlier, whereas pretty much we're love moving toward the realm of light?
We are those of Kuo, and my brother, we cannot entirely agree with you in this point. For from the standpoint of you as a collector of information, both words and music, to some extent, have elements of both the love and the light vibration. However, we would say it is certainly accurate to say that there is more beingness or non-localness in the musical portion of a song with words than there is in the words. There is another element that may be seen here that is very important in understanding your and every entity's value to the Creator. And that is that you, hearing the words and the music, by the entering of your heart into the words and the music, bring it to a life that it has not previously had, and color it in a way that shall never come again. When you react and respond, and especially if you are able to hum or sing along with a song you entirely agree with and with whose words you also agree, then you have created an instrument of transformation that is local to yourself and yet which contains all of the richness of all of those essences of great power that have been called forth into life by you hearing and feeling and experiencing. May we answer you further, Mark?
I think I understand you now. Another question. Words can cause a great deal of pain, but pain tends to be more of the thing you'd communicate via song. Why is this?
We are those of Okuo, my brother, and we believe that we grasp your query. The ability of words to heal and harm has been something that this instrument has also thought upon a good deal lately. You must understand that you are not simple beings. You do not come to the present moment without carrying burdens. Would that you could come to the present moment completely unburdened. There are whole disciplines of the personality that are devoted to clearing one of one's burdens so that one actually approaches a few precious present moments untrammeled by anything but pure being. However, foremost entities in the midst of the passion play of life on planet Earth. There is a burden. It is a burden that has been stacking up for as long as you have been carrying pain. For most entities, that it begins to occur fairly early within incarnation. Imprinting pains occur at a fairly early age usually. And then after the original imprint of that pain, or that type of pain, there forms a pattern of not only experiences of that kind of pain, but how you have coped with experiences of that kind of pain and so forth. It can get to be a very rococo structure with great embellishments, gargoyles, flying buttresses, and the occasional crenellation. When an entity speaks a trigger word to you, it may simply hit the edge of a crenellation. And you can certainly stand at that crenellation and loose an arrow that destroys the entity who spoke that word. But that word has hit its mark. And the entire structure of that pain is brought forward. You perhaps did not know that you had this buried treasure of unexplored catalyst. That one word that triggers all of those painful feelings makes it entirely clear that that gift has yet to be unwrapped, that the work is yet to be done. For the goal is not to collect pain, but to receive it, explore it, balance it, redeem it, and increase the store of your compassion. For everyone else is also experiencing this kind of pain in one way or another, according to their personality shells and their way of processing material. You are never alone when you are suffering. You are never alone when you are in absolute joy. When you are feeling, you are feeling a non-personal but entirely valid feeling. We have spoken through this instrument before concerning the rivers of emotion that you are purifying as you dip into them. You hit a surface emotion and it is muddy and unclear. But through time, through the loving perception of your own pain and through your working with that pain, you begin eventually to have sympathy for yourself. There is a sympathetic vibration that is set up so that when you encounter these fell and swift pains in your daily existence, you do not simply react to defend or to seek revenge for painful feelings, but rather you ask for clarity. You ask to sit in the fiery furnace of that suffering and ask for clarity. What is this about? Where did this come from? And how can I use this gift to grow? May we answer you further, my brother?
Did you guys want to ask?
I have a question.
Very good.
Quo, the word with my words here. In my process of seeking, there have been obstacles. There's been a recurrence of what I feel is of a variety of problems, imbalances, distortions that I feel have their root together in one single source. And in working with this problem, whatever it is, unidentified within me, it feels as if over the past few years now, few plus years, that it's still a boulder that sits within me that I have, but with all of my efforts, I've removed teaspoons of, that with all my strength I cannot seem to understand this boulder, to remove it, to drop it and let it go. And I was wondering if there are any key concepts that might help me in whatever the analogy, removing the boulder, freeing myself from my imprisoning mind, or of walking permanently out of this desert experience that I'm all too familiar with.
We are those of Kuo and are aware of your query, my brother. We examine this question for those things which we may say without interfering with your process. And we find a fair supply of words which we shall shower you with at this time, my brother, with utmost affection and our hopes that they may be of help. Firstly, as we have said before in this session, you are not alone. It is helpful to focus in on the emotion that you have uncovered and to sit with it as a student would sit with a teacher, knowing that you are not the only student in this classroom. You do not know what entities are sitting with you looking at the same boulder, but we assure you that you have great and good company, the company of fine, seeking people that are equally as stumped as you and as equally isolated in their inner process. To escape from the isolation of this process, it is helpful simply to sense into the non-isolated portion of your experience. You are experiencing a real emotion. It is to some extent muddied. That does not mean that it is not legitimate or worth looking at. Whatever distortions you are experiencing, they are entirely worth looking at. But they cannot be so threatening. If you know that you are not alone, if you know that you are in a place as safe as any other in terms of energy work, when you are experiencing powerful and frustrating emotions. The emotions themselves, if you simply let yourself get wrapped up in them and let them sweep you away from yourself, may not be helpful because they may be too strong for your system. It is helpful in terms of gaining a perspective and at the same time allowing intimacy with these feelings, to come at them from a place of sacred commonality, knowing that you and all other beings that dwell upon this sphere that you call Earth are going to be in the situation of gazing at that boulder. And when you are there, you have not only the company of fellow sufferers, but the company of the guidance systems of yourself and all fellow sufferers that are involved in dipping into this stream of this particular river of emotion that runs through the archetypal mind. Secondly, we mentioned guidance earlier, and we mention it on its own hook now, because help is available. In order to get to that place within yourself where you can actually ask, it is necessary only to be real and authentic within yourself. Whatever rationales, intellectual thought, or logic that you are using to try to analyze such a situation, when you are asking for guidance, is not the time to use those tools. Asking for guidance is a matter, as you were saying earlier, my brother, of becoming humble and realizing that you need to ask for help. And when you ask for that help, it almost doesn't matter what entities say to you. Asking for that help has opened the springs of your own compassion, so that you yourself have become a friend to yourself where you were not before, because you were too busy defending what you thought you already knew. Thirdly, and this may not seem to be very much of a gift from us to you, we would offer you the concept of a boulder inside a very large processor that does nothing but crush boulders. We do not know what in your life will have the power to act as that machinery that breaks up paint in a paint can in a very, very large way, such a shaking and rattling contraption breaks down ore and refines the base, taking the dirt out and leaving the jewels, the gold, the precious metals. That which has the tendency to create that shaking up, breaking up action is love. You are at this time, as this instrument heard earlier, enjoying a deepening relationship such as you have hoped for a long time with a mate, at least a potential mate. It is no wonder that you have re-encountered the boulder, for that boulder is to a part of yourself an object of great safety. It blocks you from moving through a door on the other side of which is the unknown. And more than that, on the other side of which you are completely undefended. Remember that your experiences within your birth family of what love is have not been those experiences which were very encouraging in terms of the safety of one being in the arms, the heart, and the words of another. That safety, that intimacy, those great possibilities do exist, but not in your personal memory. You shall need to create that safe place where you may be true, vulnerable, and loving. This is new territory. We wish you every good fortune, but must say to you, my brother, and to all who seek to press through pain to the land beyond, that it takes courage, persistence, and raw faith. May you fly and soar through the door that is now blocked. And may every effort that you make to get to the point where you are ready to fly be made in the faith that what you desire is entirely and absolutely possible. We find that this instrument's energy begins to wane. And so at this time, we would suggest an ending to this circle of seeking. We leave each of you marveling at your beauty and your courage. We thank you for your company and your questions. It has been a true blessing to us to be with you. We leave you as we found you, in the infinite love and light of the one Creator whose name is unconditional love. We are known to you as the principle of Ukua. From our hearts, we are with you. And we will be with you whenever you would request that our energy be part of your meditation. Adonai. Adonai.